Welcome to another episode of Eat, Drink, Cheap, the podcast about how old recipes and new techniques can help save you money in a world of rising food costs. I hope that wherever you are, you listening to this are having a great day. I know I am because I'm hanging out with my bud. My name is Sean.
And my name is Simon. We got there for a second. And yeah, I hope you're all having a great summer as well. We are getting near the end of it. I'm trying to hold on as tightly as I can.
I know, man. I know. We had a couple of rainy days signaling the beginning of our wet season here on the northwest coast of Canada. And it's amazing. Like everybody, the first time they see that big heavy rain again, they're all just like gobsmacked. Like they haven't seen it for 8 months of the year every year. They're surprised again every time.
And I don't know if it's just me, but I always feel the seasons change incredibly quickly. It'll go from gloriously sunny, crazy hot, and then we'll have that one day of rain and it'll just never get back up there.
Yeah. It feels like we're not coming back. Feels like summer's winding down to the end. And that means it's harvest season and I'm having a great time in the garden, man. I'm telling ya.
Oh, yeah. And the farmers markets, if you're anywhere near where there's farmers markets, like check them out now. Now is the time for all kinds of fun stuff. Large part of what I've been doing is hitting up the farmers markets.
Big, big shout out to farmers markets and good deals, too. Like it's going to be cheap. You'll be walking out with two or three big bags full of vegetables for not a whole lot of cash.
Oh, yeah, most likely. I love the farmers market scene. I have a little bit of time off this week, so I'm going to be doing one of the farmers markets. Normally I work on all day Saturdays, and there's two that I have to choose from. I have to choose to either go down to Courtney, which is about a 40-minute drive, or over to Quadra Island, which is like a 20-minute ferry ride. So
why not hit both? It's like the old I'm gonna snowboard in the morning and then go surfing in the afternoon kind of question, right?
So I have been trying to shift my sort of normal sleep patterns to be getting up at like 6 o'clock in the morning as sort of a default, because with the way my work schedule is going, I have to be at work at six a lot of days. So I figure if I'm up at six, it's not going to be quite as painful to make that transition every single week. I'm not going to say it's going well, but it's going. So maybe there's time to do both.
Hey, man, you inspired me. I just got finished straining and bottling my very first hot sauce.
Ooh, yeah. That's exciting.
I picked a couple of peppers. We grew some hot peppers in the garden this year, and we also got a big dump from some of our friends. Crystal's coworkers gave us a whole bunch of peppers, so I thought, yeah, okay, this is it. This is the time we're going to do it. So I did it just like you told me. I roasted them and salted them and then just kind of left them out for a week. And it got real funky and kind of cut a little bit of that super, super spicy capsicum stuff. And yeah, I just got finished straining it. So it's nice and smooth. It's beautiful stuff, dude.
Nice. I hope I get to try some.
I will. I have set aside a little bit for you, my friend.
Ooh, I'm so excited now.
What else you been doing with your week off?
I've been doing a bit of fishing. I, through the course of that, was able to make something I've never made before. We have the pink salmon run. And just a little over a week ago, we were down. We have sort of our fishing pier. I have never fished off the pier. I probably won't fish off the pier, but on the rocks by the pier, the main issue is getting up above the pier is really high out of the water, so pulling something up that high freaks me out. But like if I'm just on the rocks, and I caught myself a pink right off the shore there, it was super exciting. Very good day, and it was full of roe.
So, oh wow, cool!
Yeah, I made kind of my own little caviar out of it. It was a little too salty the way I did it, so definitely something to try again some point.
For those people who are unfamiliar with the term roe, give them a heads up.
It's fish eggs.
It's fish eggs.
I found a very simple recipe from our favorite parasocial relationship with Hank Shaw, of Hunt Gather Talk podcast, which he hasn't updated in like a year, and I'm very upset about this.
Yeah, when's he
And
gonna get around to doing some stuff? This is like some Dan Carlin nonsense.
and he's got a blog. We posted it before, but probably post it again. And anytime I do any kind of wild food, his is my first stop because he's probably got a recipe for it. And sure enough, simple salt brined fish roe. And I put it on, I made like a rice bowl with pork belly and then the fish roe on top.
Ooh.
And it was just absolutely delicious.
So
Again, it's salty, but.
how did you process the row?
So the you get them out of their sack.
Yep.
Basically, there's a membrane that comes around them, and that's a bit of a tedious process. You got to kind of wash them, pull them out gently, wash them again, pull them out gently, and it takes a while. And then you just
Membrane is such an upsetting word.
Well, I mean, I think it fits because it's kind of a gross thing. But once you get these little like pinkish eggs
Say it. Say it. You want to say it with membrane?
out of their membrane,
Yeah.
well, you get them out and then it's you put them in heavily salted water. I did, I think it was a 10 or 12 minute brine. He said anywhere from 5 minutes to half an hour. Really glad I didn't do half an hour. And then you kind of leave them overnight to kind of set.
Nice. Yeah.
And yeah. I found other recipes since then because I tried that one. I was like, yeah, it's good, but like, we can do better. And I found one that I'm really excited to try. Should I get any more of the salmon with the roe in them for a, what is it? Soy sauce and sake, kind of
Yeah.
equal proportions of both
I was
and
gonna
soak them in
say
that.
you got it nailed. Yeah, to make like proper Japanese ikura, which is just it's just their word for salmon roe. You do the exact same thing you just did, but just sacrifice or the just substitute the water and salt with equal parts soy sauce, sake, and mirin.
Yeah.
And then you just let them sit probably about the same amount of time you did. Give them a little bit of a strain, and then yeah, next day you're good to go.
Part of me hopes it takes a while. I don't really like catching the female fish. I want them to make their way upstream, but these things happen sometimes.
Circle of life, it just makes you that much more respectful of the ingredient when you got it in your hands and you caught it yourself.
I always do feel a profound sense of gratitude towards any wild foods that I gain. And one thing I am really trying to be mindful of and pass on to the next generation is using every single bit, not wasting even a little for this particular fish. I also always thank the fish when I catch them as well.
Aw, look at you, man. That's
My dad
beautiful.
taught, I think, taught me that one. And so for this one, like I used the roe, I cut up all the meat, cooked that in a couple of different ways. The bones, the collar, of course, I threw on the grill with some nice marinade, and that's the absolute best part of the fish.
Attaboy.
The head and the fins and the bones I made into an absolutely wonderful stock. That the next day I happened to be rehydrating mushrooms. So I rehydrated the mushrooms in the salmon stock and then kept that liquid as well. So now I sitting in my freezer, I have some absolutely fantastic salmon mushroom stock that I
Layers of
have.
flavor.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, but it's going to be exciting.
It'll be awesome, dude. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
That'd be a killer miso base for sure.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Or just something to say, I mean, autumn's coming up. Just steam some clams in that, man.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah.
And then just, yeah, that's the way. Oh my goodness. You just tipped something off in my brain. I guess this would probably Well, it doesn't really fit in my shout outs at the end of the episode, but you were talking about using every piece of the beast. And St. John, the restaurant in England, the one that was started by Fergus Henderson, is turning 30 this year. And they are returning to 1994 pricing for a period of time. So you can try
Oh,
basically like their opening menu with their opening prices on it. So that's such a cool idea.
wow. Yeah, no, that's super cool.
And for those people who don't know, like, go Google Fergus Henderson right now. Like, shut off the podcast and do that now. It's going to enrich your life. That dude is an absolute, I would say an unsung hero, but now, especially after the big ups he got from Anthony Bourdain and a whole bunch of other chefs recently, like he's pretty much a fixture of the food landscape and a hero in a lot of people's minds for his championing of nose to tail eating. Like that was the name of his cookbook, and he
Yeah.
advocated for eating every single piece of the animal, just being really respectful of it and finding ways to use things like guts and bones and things to make a really good meal. And I think that's super in line with Eat, Drink, Cheap's sort of mandate to figure out ways to save a little bit of money and get maximum flavor.
You just triggered something else I have to mention as well.
Keep going, man. Keep going.
Keeping in mind of like using everything, I think is so critical because I'm looking at like I've been doing a lot of fishing because it's time to fish and I'm really, really excited to pursue that kind of hobby. But looking at sort of the commercial fisheries and how much they pull off and how much they waste and reading about the proper handling of fish, about how when you pull it out of the water, the proper way to, shall we say, dispatch it and preserve it, and how that just doesn't happen. And so you're getting such a better quality thing by doing it yourself, and made me kind of think like, well, maybe we should kind of shut down some of the commercial fisheries and really focus on local eating and stuff. But that's a whole nother thing.
That is a whole nother thing.
The other thing that really mentioned, you mentioned Anthony Bourdain. I just found out they're making a movie, a biopic.
Oh, yeah, I know. I heard that. I heard they're making a biopic.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what I feel about that.
I don't know either. Like
If this
I'll probably see it, but I don't know how I feel about it yet, but
they well, they didn't just come out with Roadrunner.
yeah.
Wasn't that
That
last year or the
was
year before?
probably a couple years ago now.
Yeah, that was an amazing. That was an awesome little documentary about Uncle Tony. Made me cry.
Yeah, that was an emotional watch for me as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we need that biopic. I don't know what they would do with that biopic. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. That's the
Here,
Eat, Drink, Cheap.
here's looking at the I guess the, shall we say, the optimistic
You're a
side of
generous
it.
reed, rose-colored glasses. Hit me.
There you go. It will introduce Tony Bourdain to a whole new batch of people.
Oh, he was already super famous. Like, there's lots of
Yeah.
people that know him just from his food shows.
Yeah, but there'll be more, basically. Like,
All
so.
right. Yeah. Eat, Drink, Cheap's hot take on the Anthony Bourdain biopic. I don't know.
I don't
I don't
know. I don't
know.
know.
Who the hell would play Anthony Bourdain? What actor nowadays would play Anthony Bourdain?
Oh,
What was the name of the guy that played? He just got finished playing the Joker.
yeah. Well, I
Joaquin
suppose it,
Phoenix.
yeah. I suppose it depends, like, kind of what age we're talking about here. Are we talking like young Bourdain, older Bourdain?
Are you kidding, man? They can just de-age anybody nowadays.
That is true. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not gonna
Maybe
speculate too much.
that young guy that played Elvis in the new Elvis biopic. He was really good. He did a good job.
I haven't seen that.
Or the guy that did I'm just listing biopics now. The
Yeah.
guy that did Freddie Mercury from Bohemian Rhapsody. The guy with the really, really talented actor.
Yeah. You know who I could almost see doing sort of a younger Bourdain?
Who's that?
On Disney, there's the show that I actually can't watch, The Bear.
Yeah. Oh, I can't watch that one either.
The main actor, Jeremy Allen White. Like
Oh, yeah.
he's got that kind of face shape. He's got that kind of like old soul in the eyes, and we already know he can make it look like he knows what he's doing in the kitchen. So
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good pull. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I also have seen that show, and I also get a level of anxiety out of it that I cannot deal with.
it's a really good show that I cannot watch.
Oh, yeah. I feel that. Hey man, speaking of TV shows.
Oh, excellent segue. All right. So today we're doing something a little different. Today you have no idea what we're doing.
That's right. If for those people who know me well, you know that I am a planner. I love taking notes and I love making sure that everything's kind of locked down and ready to go so that I'm well prepared for whatever is to occur. I have no notes. I don't know what I'm doing. This is this is.
Sometimes I take a bit of joy in just pushing people very slightly out of their comfort zone. So this is
I'm
what today's
there.
about. All right. So this came about as an idea based from a one of my favorite YouTube channels is Sorted Food, and they had a thing where they brought in like this box, but it wasn't what I thought it was. So this is going to be what I was hoping it was. What's your favorite kind of cooking show?
My favorite kind of cooking show. This is a bad answer because I'm probably not going to be in line with everybody else's favorite cooking show. I like the old school ones, the ones where somebody's not on, doesn't have to be on a sound stage, but behind a butcher's block and they have some ingredients in front of them and they make a meal and they show you how to do it and they get excited about it. And at the end, you've got a recipe that you can try at home. I like those kind.
Yeah, I am not gonna disagree with that. I like those quite a lot too. If I were to have to pick my absolute favorite though, it would be the kind of black box cooking shows
Oh yeah, I get you.
where like Chopped is the prime example, where they give it's one of the only kind of like cooking competition shows that I like. Because I find it also inspiring for me. So you get a box of ingredients. Usually it's a black box of ingredients. You open it up, there's a few things you have to use every bit and come up with a meal.
Yeah, man, I know it. They have those kind of competitions too, like all over the place in our, you know, what I just said, our. Hey, did you catch that? In my former and your industry, cooking competitions of that sort, are commonly known as black box competitions. Happen all over the place. I was in one. Did I tell that story?
I think you told that
I
story,
think I
yeah.
told that story on the podcast. I got stomped. It was awful, but it was also a real relief. I was like, yep. Time to start drinking. Speaking of anxiety creating television, they tend to linger on what didn't go right and, you know, the trials and tribulations of a person whose entire evening is going completely sideways. And I don't know about you, but when I was working in kitchens, the possibility of our evening going completely sideways was so real that coming home and, you know, watching a TV show about people doing it and you know, having a bad time made me feel bad, so.
Yeah, no, and I can get that, and I can definitely respect that. Was it Iron Chef is kind of another example of that.
We were gonna get there at the same time. That is my favorite TV show, though. The old Iron Chef, the original Japanese Iron Chef.
So it's that kind of idea where you're given something and you have to make something with it. And this YouTube video I saw, like I thought they were going to do that, but it ended up just being like a wine tasting kit. And I was incredibly disappointed because I thought these guys maybe have come up with a way that you could play with that. And so they didn't. So I did instead. And that's what this is about.
Brilliant. I love it. What was the name of the YouTube video you were watching?
The specific one, I will find it
Doesn't
and
need to
get
be
back.
specific, just the name of the team behind it.
Yeah, Sorted Food is the YouTube channel, and they do a lot of like fun competitions just with them. They have a team of a couple of chefs and a few, they call them normals, but they've had a food channel for like 10 years, so I don't think they're quite on the same level as like a normal home cook, but they like to pretend. And then, yeah, I enjoy that because it's just like kind of what we're trying to do here of just a bunch of friends hanging out, talking food.
We need more of those people in the world, or maybe less. That way we'll climb up in the ranks on Apple Podcast.
Yeah, one or the other. Either way.
God, I love Iron Chef. Japanese Iron Chef is my number one comfort food. I will put it on while I'm cooking, prepping, doing just about anything. I love it so much. I think I've seen every episode like 1,000 times. If you are interested in my thoughts and feelings upon this hallowed old show, you can go to eatdrinkbreathe.com and you can look up If Memory Serves Me Right. Mad Ode to Iron Chef, Japan. And you can also get a list of my favorite episodes as well. So there you go.
Yeah, super fun to check out. So, the idea I had, and you can do this one of two ways. I haven't done the full version yet, but I have done the kind of like play around version. You have basically a list of ingredients. You roll a dice or two, for different categories.
Okay.
Categories I have are your proteins, your starches, your vegetables, and then your wild cards.
Cool. Okay, I'm looking at the list now. I saw it before we started, just before we started the podcast, but the minute you said roll a dice, it changes my entire universe now.
Yeah. And so you will notice that they are labeled from 2 through 12. Except for starches, because I apparently forgot to add the 12th one, but we can fill
Oh, I
that in later.
should
It's
have
fine.
caught that, dude. I should have caught that.
So if you're a huge like Dungeons and Dragons nerd like me, you probably have many, many dice lying around. But I figure for this one, we would do the simple, everyone has a couple of six-sided die. If you don't, there's dice rollers right on Google you can use as well. The other sort of quirk of the rule of if you roll doubles, so like two fours, whatever, you take that number, but also have to roll again in that category.
Oh, okay, cool. So you get an additional ingredient.
Yeah.
All righty. Also, I noticed I think there's anchovies on the wild cards twice.
So there is. That's okay. This honestly, it was just kind of like a rough put together anyway,
Yeah.
just so we'd have something to play with.
Okay, cool.
We can kind of post this list on the show notes. I don't think it'd be terribly interesting for us to necessarily like go through the list piece by piece, but I thought we'd just kind of roll some dice.
Okay, cool. Let me just put this in the notes. Listening to my extra clacky keys on a keyboard. I love clacky keys on a keyboard. So, yeah, we've
So,
got one, two, three, four categories. We got proteins with stuff like salmon and chicken and beef and pork. We got starch, and it's got potatoes and quinoa and pasta and flour and vegetables with every vegetable you can imagine, and then wild cards. And I'm not going to give those away because that'll be fun when they come up at the very end.
yeah, the wild cards, particularly, Flynn and I were kind of playing this game, just keep rolling and coming up with meals for what we would make.
Yeah.
The nice thing about this is it's super customizable. If you have a bunch of ingredients in your fridge, you just open your fridge, you open your pantry, you write them down, you start rolling some dice. You don't need to do shopping for it, or you can make it a shopping trip and you can roll first and then like, all right, we're gonna go get these things and we're gonna use them and experiment with new flavors and exciting things that way.
And for you, the listener, who is thinking, okay, so I'm going to listen to these two fools play this game. What does this mean for me? These are the kind of skills, as Simon said, when you open up the fridge and you go, oh, it doesn't look like I have anything to make for dinner. These are the kind of skills where you take things and you put them together in new ways and come up with new dishes or old dishes in, maybe substituting this and maybe throwing in a little bit of that. saves you money in the long run because you're using up things like leftovers and you're using up things like, you know, vegetables in the bottom or the back of your refrigerator that you haven't seen in a while, or just using up everything. That's the important thing, is to always be cycling what's in your fridge and using what needs to be used first, and then, you know, setting aside things that need to be used later. But now, when you really build up those sort of critical thinking, you know, sort of those black box muscles, you're using everything.
I love the idea of sort of the black box meals. Like I said, it's one of my favorite kind of shows is The Chops, the Iron Chefs, because it's using ingredients in ways and combinations that you wouldn't necessarily have thought of before.
All right,
And if you
cool.
are, for example, a new cook and don't really know what to do with anything, you can A, pick easier things, and B, I'm sure there's websites you can go to where you plug in what you have in the fridge and it'll tell you meals. I've seen these before.
I'm sure there is.
So
Oh my God. If there isn't, man, we're adding it to Eat, Drink, Breathe right now.
yeah. So,
Okay. Can we take a quick break?
yes, let's take a quick break.
Cool,
And
'cause
then
I need to find some dice.
we'll roll some bones.
Roll some bones. Where do I have dice? Oh my God. Wait, are they just like regular squarey dice? Or are
Regular
these
squarey dice, regular old,
regular old square
if you
dice?
have a board game, you probably have at least one in there. You can always take one
Oh,
and roll it twice or
that's wicked smart. That's what I'll do. Okay, BRB everybody, and when we return, we will begin our black box competition. Ale cuisine, my friends. Welcome back to Eat, Drink, Cheap. It took me a unbelievably long time to find some dice. I opened up every single board game in the house, and they all seemed to be missing dice. So if I'd have taken that like 1980s copy of Monopoly that I've got on some sort of road trip and opened it up, I'd be absolutely out of luck. But I have found one dice, and I've got a little backgammon thing so you can hear it. Here's some Foley work. There you go.
I don't know if that's going to come through. I've had problems before. Like I didn't hear that at all in my headphones.
Oh no.
Unfortunately, microphone technology is so good these days that it filters out things it thinks is unnecessary sounds. So
It's noise canceling all of our
yeah.
dice sounds. I am so excited. This is going to be really cool. So, if you are listening to this, check out eatdrinkbreathe.com for the show notes so that you can have a look at our little list of items that we are going to be pulling from. All right, Simon, what do I
And
do?
play along at home too, if you like. All
Yeah,
right, let's
play.
roll. Are we gonna do one at a time or do them together?
Oh no, one at a time. Do you want me to go first? Just tell me what to do. So I'm gonna.
All right, so roll your protein.
Okay, we are gonna be picking from list number one. That's proteins. I've got one dice, so I'm gonna have to roll it twice. I got a six.
Okay.
And I got a one. So that's number seven. And that would be
All right.
beef.
Yep. I haven't put anything particular specific when it comes to that, just because I actually don't eat a lot of beef. So I don't
Yeah.
know. You could break it down into other meats I have breaking down into different cuts. You could easily do that, but let's just stick with beef for now.
All right. So, well, that's my first one. I've got beef as my protein. All right, you're up, bud. Go.
I got a nine pork butt. I'm
Ooh,
already excited.
I was going to say, that's one of your favorites.
Yep.
All right. I am now going to go down to the starch list, and I'm going to be rolling my starch. I got a two. Second roll. I got a six. So I got eight. That's pasta. That's a good one. That's not
All right.
bad. That's pretty
Yeah.
versatile. I'm feeling good about that.
It occurs to me as well, on sort of a next draft of this, what I would probably do was give a little more thought to the selections in the 2 and the 12 slot, because guaranteed those are going to have to be doubles. So either have a be a caveat rule where if you roll those doubles, you don't have to re-roll or something. I don't
Oh
know. I
yeah.
haven't.
'Cause that'd be like your critical roll, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'd be like your critical fail or your critical hit.
So yeah, I don't know. Something to consider. We'll see if it comes up. I got a five.
You got a five.
Quinoa.
Quinoa.
Interesting.
There you go. I think the starch is gonna kind of make or break your whole menu. That's
I
kind of
think
the
it's the
critical
wild
one.
card.
Oh yeah, maybe you're right. Okay. We are now on to vegetables. This is a big one for me. This is gonna kind of shape where I'm going and with my dish. First roll, six. Man, I'm rolling sixes all over the place. It's a hot dice. Six and four. Zucchini. Oh my goodness. What are we gonna do with that?
I
Okay.
got double five. So I get zucchini, and I get to roll again. That's what I was just talking about. Like if you roll doubles for a 12 or a two, maybe you don't have to re-roll, but otherwise you definitely do. So
Okay,
I
cool.
got zucchini and seven is cabbage.
Ooh, there's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's gonna throw something interesting in there with the all right, yeah, I'm okay. I
Okay.
am
Look at you. I
on
can see
track
the
here. Yeah.
hamsters
Wheels are turning.
running in those
See,
wheels.
this is what I'm actually really enjoying about this sort of unintended consequences is like the wheels start moving, you start really thinking about different flavors, different combinations, the more you roll. And we're not done. We got one more to go.
Absolutely. Okay. This is for the wild cards. This is where we're going to get the real heat. I got a four and a five. So I've got pomegranate. What? Oh, no. Oh,
All right.
no. Okay.
Here's
Fire
where
away,
things get
bud.
really interesting. I got a double four, another double. So I got gochujang, and I
Yeah.
roll again for a 10 is gelatin.
Whoa.
Oh.
So you got two out of the wild cards. And we have to use
Yeah.
all of them, right?
Yeah, you have to use them all.
By the way, sir, I noticed you put instant mashed potatoes on the wild cards.
A lot of the wild cards I actually took from our previous food crime episodes.
Of course you did. Of course you did. All right. So now that we've got our, in my case, four, in your case, six ingredients, I think it's actually going to be harder on you because now you've got to fit all those ingredients in there.
I was doing fine until I rolled the gelatin.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Oh, that's hard. Oh man. Yeah, I was doing good till I hit that pomegranate. That's
Yeah.
whoo.
All right, we're
Okay.
locked in now. What do we do?
Okay, we're locked in. So, now that we have these ingredients, do we have a pantry that we can pull from? Like, are we able to,
Oh
or do
yeah,
we?
absolutely. Anything else you want to add in there, you can. Like this is I don't want to if you wanted to do sort of like the hardcore mode, sure, you could lock yourself in and say like basic pantry ingredients only.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say like whatever you want to bring into it, do it.
Okay. Does it have to be one dish or can it be multiple dishes?
It has to be, I would say, one meal.
One
So,
plate. Yeah.
yeah, like a single plate.
Okay, cool. All right. Okay. Okay. So I'm assuming we got things like herbs, spices.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So beef is a pretty broad term. It is, it's one of those things that you could slot into a lot of different dishes in a lot of different ways, depending on which cut you've got. Because this is eat, drink, cheap, I'm going to immediately go for a cheaper cut. I'm going to take something like a shin or something that requires quite a bit of processing because I'm actually going to grind my beef. That's going to be my sort of step one for this meal because I've got pasta. And one of the things that I love to do, like absolutely love to do, is like an old school ragu. So basically you take like ground beef or very, very, finely diced, usually incredibly cheap cuts of beef and just give it a quick browning in a pot. And then after that, you're going to take the beef out and you are going to add a little bit of olive oil and you're going to saute a little bit of garlic, onions, carrots, and celery, you know, your usual mirepoix, all like to create like a nice base for that sauce, and then add in some tinned tomatoes. I think we were talking about those in our last episode. And then just simmer that, and you're going to simmer that for, you're going to put the beef back in and probably cook that for a couple hours. Is there a time limit on this?
Nah, no time limit.
Good man.
We're going on kind of the easy mode here. Very, very few restrictions.
I like it. Pasta-wise, I want something nice, and I want a nice, thick, flat noodle. So something like a tagliatelle or a pappardelle. One of those guys, sort of undulating noodles on the plate. Serve the ragu over top of that. It's a layup with the zucchini because that's also an Italian ingredient. So I could be sneaky and just add that to the ragu, but it doesn't really go. I would prefer to blanch the zucchini, which is going to raise some eyebrows. But do you remember when I did that antipasti and I brought it over to your house?
Yeah, I enjoyed that quite a lot.
I did too. One of the things that absolutely blew my mind for that recipe, which, by the way, I got out of Paul Bertoli's Cooking by Hand, which is a book I've been absolutely plugging the hell out of for the last couple episodes. It is a zucchini antipasti, and what you do is you cut them into little sticks, and then you actually blanch them, which is something I'd never done with an eggplant, and it works just as well with zucchini. Hell, I could, if this was like a real cooking competition, I would blanch them in the pasta water just before the pasta goes in, just to save time. And then squeeze them out so that they're nice and dry, and then serve them with olive oil, just a splash of balsamic vinegar. Man, I might almost even take the pomegranates and give them a squeeze to get that juice in there, or just serve that with the zucchini as well. It's going to make it into a really cool rosé color, and then make sure to hit it with a little bit of fresh mint, which goes awesomely with both pomegranates and zucchini, and a big squeeze of lemon, and serve that as a side. Not quite a pickle, not quite a vegetable, just something to start the meal off, or something to have in between bites of your very, very rich ragu.
All right. That sounds like a great start. My turn, I suppose.
Do you want me to vamp a little more, dude?
No, I'm good. I'm up on it now. All right, so the pork butt, again, one of my favorite proteins to work with. And I rolled for one of the wild cards gochujang as well, which will be coming up in my shout out section. But
nice.
So that's just kind of a little bit of serendipity. All right, so I'm going to use the gochujang to do a Korean barbecue sauce. Which I will include a recipe for in the show notes as well. It's one of my go-tos. I always have it in the house, so this is an easy one. I'm going to throw that in the pressure cooker and do like a pressure cooker pulled pork with like a Korean barbecue sauce in there.
Beautiful.
The zucchini, I'm going to run through the cheese grater to do a finely shredded zucchini. I'm going to cook up the quinoa. Whenever I cook quinoa, I always do it in some sort of stock. So to give it a little extra flavor. And I'm going to do kind of a quinoa, almost rice bowl with the shredded zucchini in it. And for my cabbage, I'm going to do a quick pickle because rice bowls need a pickle.
Beautiful.
The gelatin is where things get a little bit dicey, but I figure what I can do is I can steal some of your pomegranate, juice it, and then thicken it up with the gelatin to do like a thick sauce on top to just kind of give that little hit of sweetness on it as well.
Cool. Can I jump in if I was
absolutely.
If I was to get the gelatin, I know that you've already gone in kind of a Korean direction. There is a tradition of making sort of a gelatinized blood or gelatinized like pork cubes that go on things. I would take the stock that's going to be left over from slow cooking your pork.
Yeah.
And I would gelatinize it and make it into little cubes that would go with your bowl.
I love it. Let's do that instead.
That's good. Oh, that's fun. This is fun. Do you want to try another one?
Well, one more round at least, I think.
One more round. Here we go. We're going to be saying
Yeah.
this all night long. Okay, you go
I'll
first
roll
this
for
time.
that.
Oh, hang on. I gotta unbold all the ones that I got because I'll get confused. I'm amazed my computer hasn't spontaneously combusted because I've been doing all of this stuff all at once. Oh, and cue the computer making noise. All right, fire away, bud. Whoa.
All right, I had to roll about six times because I am trying not to double up, and I rolled a nine again like five times in a row. It was
Oh
nuts.
no, that's the universe telling you need to
But
get a pork butt.
instead of doing that, I rolled eventually a six chicken
Ooh,
breast.
nice. Oh, so we're not getting the same ones. That's a we're doing for this one, we can't get the same ones.
I think for the purposes of the show, like I think we should do something completely different each roll. So.
Brilliant. So you got chicken breast, is that right?
Yes.
Ah, that sucks. That one hurts more than any of them, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't cook with chicken breast a whole lot.
Neither do I. So boring. All right, I'm rolling
Anyway.
my dice for protein. I got a two and a three, so I got five chicken thigh.
Lucky bastard.
Yeah, I got the flavorful one. All right, hit your
All
starch,
right.
bud.
I got five and a three and eight is pasta. I don't want to be that.
But I got
Five
pet.
and
You didn't get pasta.
you got pasta last time. I'm more interested
Oh.
in the nine I rolled, which is flour.
That's weird. Yeah, okay. Flour. All right. Rolling for my starch. I got a two. And I got a one. I got three. Red potato.
All right.
That's not bad. Yeah. All right. Okay. Veggies, bud.
I got a three and a three, six, which is corn,
That's
and a
good.
roll again. A two and a two is parsnips. Do I want to roll for a third time, or do I want to say that
it's just killing you, man, unless you get
it's
something
all
that
right?
energizes.
I rolled a six on the second one, a two and a four, so it's corn again. So
All
extra
right.
corn and parsnips.
Corn and parsnips. That's
All
going to be a
right.
weird combination. I really like parsnips, but I know a lot of people that don't like them.
I really enjoy parsnips as well, so.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. I got a one. I got another one. So I've got carrots and I'm rolling my second one. Got a six and a one. So I've got carrots and cabbage.
All right. This is where things get really exciting.
This is the wild card, baby. What you got?
Oh, I knew it was gonna happen. Instant mashed potatoes, three to one, four.
Better you than me, bud. All right, here we go. I got a four and a one. So I'm getting anchovies. Ooh.
Excellent.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. All right. So here's something fun you can do with instant mashed potatoes. As I desperately stall for time.
There is nothing that you can do with instant mashed potatoes that is considered fun or even in the neighborhood of fun.
But here's what I'm wondering it because of the kind of powdered nature of it, what would happen if you used it as kind of a breading?
It's going to make whatever you put into it sad.
All right.
Yeah,
We're doing it anyway. We're gonna do a chicken breast breaded in sort of that instant mashed potato. And
my
then
God. With a bit of the flour too, because you got flour as well.
with a bit of the flour,
Yeah, okay.
and then I'm going to
When I'm talking, what I want you to do for me
Yeah.
is I want you to Google what happens when I fry instant mashed potato. But only when you're done. You keep going.
All right. So the rest of the flour I'm going to just mix with a little water, a little salt, and press flat into a tortilla.
Ooh.
And then roast off the parsnips. And also dust the corn with some nice spices and oil and give them a good roasting too.
Nice.
And I'm going to be making kind of a taco with the chicken and the corn and the parsnip roasted nice and soft.
I like that. I like that a lot. Okay. All right. I got chicken thighs. I got red potatoes. I got carrots. I got cabbage. And God help me, I got anchovies. Okay. I know what I'm going to do with the anchovies because there was a recipe that I saw recently. I can't remember whether I was working on it for a podcast or whether it was for my website, but potatoes al forno is an Italian dish where it's basically an Italian version of scallop potatoes. So you take potatoes, you slice them very, very thin on a mandolin or with a really sharp knife if you got one, and then you layer them with stages of cream and cheese. And the thing that they add to give it a particular funkiness is some anchovies that have been just cooked down in a little bit of cream so that they kind of dissolve. You know how anchovies like dissolve if you add
Yeah.
them to oil and stuff like that? It just gives it a little
Yeah.
bit of funkiness. So a little bit of so I'll be taking all of our red potatoes, slicing them thin, mixing them up with some very thinly sliced fennel, and then yeah, layers, cream, cheese, anchovies, cook it in the oven, make sure that there's cheese on top to get a little bit of a bubbly bubbly on it. I'll put it in one of those sexy little crocks that'll sit on the side of the plate. And in the meantime, I will brown those chicken thighs and I'm gonna make sure that I have got a bit of butter and a bit of oil, and I am gonna load it with my two favorite ways to aromatically start any braised dish. And so I'm going to add caraway seeds, which is my favorite spice, and a big heaping helping of smoked paprika. And it's going to get those sort of like Scandinavian and sort of Eastern European flavors going. Lots of salt, and I'm going to cut those carrots and those cabbage nice and big and chunky. I'm going to add them to the butter and oil after I've taken the chicken thighs out, put them back in, and then yeah, just a little bit of stock. Maybe some flour to thicken if I need it later, but probably not. And I'm just going to cook that till they're all falling apart, like a Hungarian style goulash kind of stew, or like a chicken paprikash, something like that.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. It's going to be a mess, but it's going to be a beautiful and very delicious mess.
Yeah, tons of flavor in there.
Yeah. And I think that'll work well with the potatoes because the potatoes are going to be relatively creamy and hearty. Only the anchovy gives it a bit of a spike in terms of flavor. The chicken is just going to be pure savory.
All right.
Coffee beans? Did you put that on there? I don't remember seeing coffee beans on there.
I had anchovies on twice, as you pointed
Oh,
out, so I
yeah.
swapped it out with coffee beans.
God, I
Totally up for suggestions on other ingredients, other wild cards, you think, if anyone wants to send in things for like weird things in there. I mean, I'm gonna go through the wild cards quickly because I think they're the most fun. I have cassava.
never cooked with it.
I love it. Love it a lot. Plantain would be another good one. It's not on that list, but I might just cheat and take gelatin off because I hated that. Jicama.
Love it.
Yeah. Instant mashed potatoes, of course.
That's a war crime and should be removed.
So I'll get back to that. Anchovies, phyllo pastry,
Love both of
one of my
those.
personal favorites. Chocolate.
Oh, mole, I can feel it. You get chicken
Yeah.
breasts and chocolate. Yes.
Yeah, when I was playing the game with Flynn couple of days ago, or whatever it was, we ended up rolling chocolate like a few times, so there were a few different variations on mole, which were kind of exciting.
Love that.
Gochujang, which is a Korean hot chili paste and one of my absolutely favorite ingredients.
Perfect.
Pomegranate.
That's a good one. That was a really good one. I like that. That was a weird, like it makes you run through those mental gymnastics quite a bit.
The gelatin, which I hated it, but could be fun. It's up there for now. I'm gonna leave it there. Teff flour, which is trickier to get a hold of. It's common in Ethiopian cooking, though,
Yeah, I don't know that one at all.
or coffee beans.
That's so
Also,
fun.
according to tastingtable.com, has an article, why you should substitute crumbs with instant mashed potatoes.
Oh, Jesus.
When you use breadcrumb substitute of instant mashed potatoes, particularly as a gluten-free alternative, the exterior will turn out delightfully crispy and the interior will stay delectably moist.
Okay, so you can bread proteins with instant mashed potatoes and fry them.
Bread? Yeah, absolutely. So
Oh.
I had the thought, and it turns out I was right.
I'll say it. You're a genius. I'll say it now. You came up with a good little game show and you came up with a good little combination of dishes on that game show. Well done, sir.
Yeah, so of course the next step is to actually go out and make these things. I haven't done that yet, but
Oh, that's a good idea. So we'll roll the dice and we'll do, and then we'll have a meal together where we have to do the two dishes.
yeah.
That's such a good idea. I love it.
Great, great party game.
Great party game. And it's something we could probably add to. Like, I had so much fun doing this. I'm ready to go again. Like, if we did this as like a little segment, just roll the dice on, different episodes and just be like, hey, man, you got some dice on you? Hey, guess what? You got instant mashed potatoes and pomegranate seeds again.
Yeah, I'm all over that. So if this is something for any of our listeners want to hear, let us know. Please, please, please send in your suggestions for ingredients or modifications to this game. This is the first time I'm putting it out in the public. I haven't been working on it all that long, so it definitely can use some refinement. I'm already seeing like little tweaks I want to make to the rules and everything. So yeah.
Cool.
I had a feeling you'd have fun with it.
Yeah, I did, man. Not enough miso. Let's put miso on the wild cards
Oh
next time.
yeah, miso
Yeah,
for sure.
for sure.
I used sort of the 2d6 system because I figured probably everyone has a couple of dice, a die kicking around. But there's no reason you couldn't do 3, 4. You could use d20s. You could use whatever for the way you want it to go. So,
Yeah, you could even customize, you could have a bunch of different menus ready to rock, like different templates. So it's just like, oh, we're doing, the cheap one, or oh, we're doing the super expensive one
Yeah.
for
Oh, yeah.
like,
You could do different. That's a great idea. Different lists. I'm just making one quick adjustment. I'm taking out the teff because I feel like that's an ingredient that's it's tricky to find, and I'm adding in miso instead, which is popular enough that it's
Really?
in most grocery stores.
Oh, dude, we could do like the Christmas one or the holiday one where everything's
Oh
just holiday
yeah,
themed.
that would be great. Throw in like cranberries and.
Yeah. Or, like autumn's just around the corner. We just fill the, as a special rule, you just fill the entire wild card with like pumpkin spice.
There you go.
Oh my God. Dude, this was so much fun. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This is awesome. Take it away. What you got? I think you got somebody to bring. Dragging into a food court, don't you?
Yeah. We're talking about like food competitions and food shows and that kind of things. And I just wanted to kind of highlight my least favorite of these. Even though Food Network plays nothing but Diners, Dives, and Drives these days, and that can be a little grating at times, at the very least, they're doing some good work by highlighting these sort of like unknown places on the side of the road and probably getting a lot of really great business into like small businesses who really need it. Sort of the opposite of that is Beat Bobby Flay, my least favorite cooking show.
All right, folks, we are now into food court where one of the two of us will drag somebody kicking and screaming to the court and figure out if they are, in fact, a food crime. Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself for those ethereal saxophones. We are now in food court.
All right. I think the formatting of the show has gone through some changes, but back when it was first introduced, Beat Bobby Flay was kind of an ambush show where they would go out and f to these towns and find people who are like considered the best at cooking something. and Bobby Flay would come in, and they'd sell them this idea of you're doing a cooking segment on this show of showing your recipe, and then Bobby Flay would come in and say, "Let's see if you can do it better than I can." And there's a couple of problems I have with this.
Lay it on me. Lay it on
First
the
off,
court.
Bobby Flay is just so smug in his public persona. I cannot stand him. I'm sure he's a great guy. Sure, he's wonderful. Sure, if you're sitting down and having a beer with him, he's a wonderful person to be around. His
So, just before we continue, we are not condemning Bobby Flay the person. We're condemning beat Bobby Flay the show concept.
yeah, and the so there's something you find a lot in show business as well, is there's the person and then the person they portray on screen. And it doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily a one-to-one, even if they're using the same name, they're still playing a character a lot of times.
So despite his
So
smug little face, we're going to be condemning the show,
there's
not
a
him.
very real possibility that Bobby Flay is not a complete smug jerk, but it doesn't come across on TV. And then you're also ambushing these poor home cooks where they think they're going into one thing, whereas he's coming in prepared to have a competition. And so that's automatically putting them on the back foot. And as someone who just doesn't really like surprises, that would be just incredibly upsetting for me personally. And then you're coming in and having this sort of like tearing apart this recipe that this person has probably put like their heart and soul and a good chunk of their identity into. And basically coming across and saying, "Let me see if I can do it better." And that to me is just like a slap in the face.
So who are the victims here? Who are the people that get ambushed on the show?
From the couple of times I've seen it, it's like county fair winners, or like people will submit on behalf of like their darling grandmother who makes the best cheese biscuits kind of thing.
And then
And is
Bobby Flay
no
rocks up to
And then you get
beat
this
up
like
on grandma.
professional chef with 20 years experience rocks in and says, "No, let me show you how I am all that."
Sit
And
down,
like,
grandma. I'm going to show you how my biscuits are made.
and then I think it's like a blind tasting with probably, I clearly haven't done like a lot of research in this because I don't hate myself that much. But it comes in and there's a panel of judges, probably some pros, probably some people from the neighborhood who are familiar with this person, and they do like a blind tasting and see whose they like better. And it
As
just,
a as a concept, it seems a little one-sided, and it seems a l not vindictive, but it's got a tiny bit of mean. Like
it's mean. Yeah, it's mean.
I'm sure it's got like that kind of like ha ha gee whiz kind of feel to it. Like I'm Bobby Flay and I'm here and we're gonna have a friendly competition. But if your cheese biscuits are, like you said, something you built your identity on, I'm grandma's, cheese biscuit maker, and then this guy comes in, he's just like, I don't think your cheese biscuits are very good. Like, that's kind of mean. Okay, I have seen two episodes of this show, and I'm going to act as defense for just a moment because one of the things I noticed when I watched this show, I also am not a huge fan of Bobby Flay's public-facing persona. I think he's a jerk, and I cannot believe that they made him an Iron Chef. But that being said, I'm going to represent the defendant for a sec. That aw shucks quality also seems to lean in at the end of the episode when the judging happens, because both times I watched that show, Bobby Flay got stomped.
I've seen episodes where he gets stomped, and I've seen episodes where he wins. The time I was watching it was mostly sort of that when I'm in a ho whenever I have to stay in a hotel, I usually just like throw on Food Network and leave it running in the background. And it seemed to be they'd play two episodes back to back, one where he'd win, one where he'd lose.
Oh no, that means that there's
So
probably like a 50-50 split.
there, I've seen people commenting on it before about saying like some of the times that it doesn't seem, it seems like it's rigged. I can't speak to that necessarily directly, but
It's television. It's all rigged, man.
having been peripherally involved in the sort of the film industry and having a lot of friends who are deeply involved in the film industry, and I was on a show in my childhood. There was a film crew following one of my dad's kayak guides around. Can't even remember what it was called. I was probably like 12 or 13 years old. and how much like these reality shows are absolutely fake, seeing it behind the scenes.
Okay, I have one last question before we go to judgment.
Yep.
In the episodes that you witness, because I haven't seen them, when Bobby Flay wins, what is his reaction and what is the reaction of the defending champion?
It's that kind of like, oh shucks, like attitude that he kind of puts across of like, oh shucks, I can't believe you beat me. And then of course the person sort of defending their title is just overjoyed of like, I beat Bobby Flay.
But the inverse, like what's it like when he wins? Because that's what's going to determine what my answer is.
I don't recall him be like he doesn't like lord over them to the best of my knowledge. And the people who he beats are generally pretty good natured about it. Like, of course, it's Bobby Flay. Why wouldn't we have her a hard time beating him? But it's just like that whole idea of bringing in like a professional chef with all these like years of experience. There's probably a way why they do what they do, and it is the way it is. It's not necessarily because it is the most best way to create the best results, but that's the way like their great great grandmother showed them how to do it. And so they're so even if the recipe isn't the most flavorful, like there's recipes I remember from my childhood that are probably not the best recipes, but I wouldn't change a damn thing about them because that's the way that it was passed down. And so to enter something like that in a competition would be a little bit devastating for me.
Well said, my friend. Well argued. All right. Do you want to withhold judgment until our next episode, which will allow some of our listeners to give us their opinion?
Yeah, let's see if some of our listeners feel like coming in and joining the conversation.
Fantastic. Text, email, all of the usual ways you get in touch with us. Let us know if you think Beat Bobby Flay, the TV show, not the man, is guilty of a food crime.
Email is email at eatdrinkcheap.ca.
Fantastic, my friend. You got any other final thoughts?
I have some other people's stuff to pitch, but nothing about this particular subject, so
I can't wait till we start marketing this game. We could make
yeah,
it.
well, we could do cards. We could make a deck of
We
cards.
can make a deck of cards.
Oh, and then you just like you look through your ingredients and then you just pick what you have
Oh
or
my
what have
God.
access to,
That's such
and
a
then you'd
good.
shuffle and then deal.
Yes, you deal the cards to each side. Ding, 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 ding. Oh my God, that is such a good idea. That's what we'll do. We'll make little cute little drawings and stuff like that. Oh,
Yeah, all right. I
this
like
is an
this. All right.
ever evolving idea. And who doesn't love a deck builder?
Ooh, I like this.
This is so much fun. Okay, bud. Who are you plugging this time?
One more thing quickly. If you do decide to steal this idea and market it, just send me a copy of the game when you're done. I have been off work last week or so, sort of a staycation, getting stuff done around the house. One of those things is about a year ago, we bought a car in Nanaimo and got two free oil changes. And so we went down to Nanaimo, which is a couple hour drive, for our second oil change. And while we were there, I kind of took the time to explore the city a little bit. And one place we found was a shop called Man Lee. It is an Asian grocery store. And it was something that I now have to do anytime I go past there. It is all of Chinatown in one shop. Part of why it was important we go there is I ran out of my gochujang, which has come up a lot during this episode. And so I got some. Guess how much I got? Oh yeah. Yeah. A 3 kilo tub of gochujang. I am not running out anytime soon. Doesn't really go bad. Lasts basically forever because it's fermented and super spicy. And now, yeah, I'm super excited. And the other really cool thing we found there was a little set. It was a Poppin' Cookin' Tanoshi Bento, which is a I'm trying to figure remember how to put photos in the Google Doc. So I'm working on that. And it's a little like candy making set that is in the kind of shape of a bento box. And so you have this pack with all these different powders that you add water to and make into like little candies that look like food. So there's like rice balls, and you pour the water into the powder, and it makes like the texture of rice. And then you pour another one into like a thing that you squeeze out, and it's spaghetti. and another one that's like the texture and color of fried chicken somehow, and they're all like fruity flavors, and it's just
I'm getting kind of like a Play-Doh kind of vibe from this whole thing.
except it's all candy, and then you eat it afterwards, and then the candy's not, great, but other than that, like, it's super cool.
What if you could make it look like fried chicken? Hot damn, now we're talking.
Yeah, it was actually quite shocking just how much it did look like fried chicken. Like, that was, it was nuts. Like,
You've got this look on your face like a man who saw an alien and can't convince people that he did. He's just like, man, like it looked like fried chicken,
yeah.
man. Oh my God, that is so cool, dude. Yeah, I gotta hit up Manly. I haven't been there in a long time.
Yeah, it's a super great shop. It's just on, I think, Terminal Avenue in Nanaimo. And I also got tteokbokki noodles, which is like sort of a rice noodle that I haven't been able to find in town because our really good Asian store shut down. And yeah, I got a box full of stuff and I had to leave because I would have spent a lot more money there if I'd stayed any length of time.
Hey man, you get to eat it all in the end, so that's a pretty good investment.
They had a flying fish roe, and so I got some of that because we were talking about that a while ago.
Ooh, Tobiko.
Yep.
I have not got much. I was told not to do any research, so I didn't. So there you go, listeners. It's all Simon's fault.
That's okay. We've been going for a good length of time anyway, so.
The only thing I got is I was listening to Rick Rubin's podcast, Broken Record. From Pushkin, and they did a really cool interview with one of the members of the Roots. So, a couple mornings ago, I just threw on Spotify and I just listened to just about all the Roots albums. And man, that band is amazing. So, that's who I'm going to shout out. Go listen to the Roots. They're so good. They're so good.
They are good.
So good. You can check me out on Instagram at Eat Drink Breathe. Thank you so much to John Palmer, just about as good as the Roots, for our intro music and interstitial music. Just kidding, John, you're better. You can check us out at eatdrinkcheap.ca or eatdrinkbreathe.com/podcast, where we will have all of our show notes and links and recipes. And yeah, make sure to give us a shout. Let us know about the food crime. Is Bobby Flay's smug little face worth keeping around in this world? I don't know. I don't know. It's in your hands. His fate is in your hands.
Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or whatever service you use to listen. If you have any questions, comments, or corrections, email us at email@eatdrinkcheap.ca. And if you have any things you want added into the game as well, since I think we've decided to make it a card game, there's not really any limits on numbers. We can do however many we like.
My friend, you are gonna be you birthed this idea into the world, and I think we're gonna take it and run with it. This is such a fun little game.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to start either like photographing or figuring out how to draw different foods and stuff so we can actually. I'm sure there's a service where you can make cards. There's got to be like a build your own card deck sort of service out there.
Absolutely. I'll start drawing little cartoons. Like, just keep it cartoony. I think that would be the best way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Oh, my friend, will you please take us home?
Take care of each other and remember to eat well.